What's going on, everybody? We are back. Episode 276, Dark Windows Podcast. My name's Kevin.
And I'm the Kevin as well.
And this week, we are wrapping up round one.
Round one.
Fight. Of the Asshole Eliminator Tournament Invitational.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And man, I got to tell you, I think I might have made a mistake with my selection here, because I did some looking, like, obviously, because I had to research, because I don't know details about this asshole's life, you know, like off the top of my head. We probably could have found somebody different, to be honest, because, like, I was like, oh, he was probably a shit. Not really.
So yeah. About like I said about Che Guevara.
Yeah, but he was still a scumbag, though. He was like active.
He wasn't. No. He wasn't at. No. Okay. I'm sorry.
Let me finish my statement before you. He was in combat doing combat shit and killing people. This guy. Yeah, we'll get into it, but. Yeah.
My lady wasn't in combat. Didn't do combat shit.
She did some fucking gross stuff.
And she didn't do any gross stuff. She didn't do anything.
She perpetuated some awful shit.
Yes. Let's put it that way.
Before we go too far, though.
So everybody, if you don't remember, it's Margaret Sanger versus
Gavrilo Princip.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is. Yeah, I had to message Kevin and say, I had to stop because this bitch pissed me off.
Yeah. I kind of just knocked him out. I was like, man, once I got rolling on it, I was like, yeah, this was not a, he was not a suitable pick. I don't think. We probably could have had somebody different on here than him, but we'll talk about him anyway because we have to.
I don't know.
So I kind of had a thing happen the other, day before yesterday, I was laying in bed and, my wife's on Facebook and a mutual friend of ours posted, about a friend of his that, unfortunately committed suicide. And just so happens to be a guy that I used to work with. So that kind of. That hit weird. If you're going through shit, just get help, you know?
Who was it?
A guy I used to work with at Subaru, one of the mechanics. He was a good shit. Had a very young son, too, which is the worst part. But
yeah.
Yeah, if anybody is going through some shit, just, you're not alone. Get some help and. Yeah, we need you.
I know it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right. But, you know.
But, you know, stop and think about what you're doing. Even if somebody, if you need to just have somebody listen to you, listen. And if you're one of us, you know, one of the Dark Windows podcast family, reach out to one of us.
Yeah.
Reach out to me.
I mean, we're not medical professionals, but you know, we can talk to you. Obviously.
I can be the best listener that anybody has.
But yeah, there's numbers out there depending on where you are. If you're going through shit and you need help, just it's better to talk to somebody than to do something that you can't undo. So anyway, now that we talked about something depressing, let's talk about some more depressing shit.
Hey, wait, did we have a birthday for in the Dark Windows family?
Huh?
I thought I saw somebody that had a birthday.
Nick Arnold had a birthday a couple days ago at this point, something like that.
Yeah, well, Nick, when you hear this, happy birthday.
Shit, we didn't even celebrate our sixth birthday, which was, you know, last month at this point. I'm having birthday pizza for us.
Good for you.
Yep.
I'm happy. Yay, buddy.
Hey, it is what it is.
You just wanted pizza.
We were in a very low effort dinner mood tonight because she's had a week, and I didn't really want to do anything when I got home because it was just today was fucking wild. So I'm at 22,000 steps, and I haven't done that many since I got home. So I had a busy day dealing with a bunch of stupid shit.
Nice, nice.
Because we don't understand the concept of setting a deadline far enough in the future that it can actually be completed.
Uh-huh.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, this needs to be done in 3 hours. Have you started it yet? No. No, we have not. Great. Cool. So we'll just pool all of our resources and everybody else can fuck off. We'll just waste all of our time doing that. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
One of those days. One of those days.
Gotcha. I know what those days are like.
They are stupid is what those are.
Yep. For sure.
But anyway, Kevin, I started this off last week, so why don't you just unleash this miserable bitch at us?
Fine. Margaret Sanger, born 1879. She would, just full disclosure, I'm not giving much of a background because I was like, I could, but nah, there was just way too much other stuff.
Fair enough.
So, just to say this, she would attend college and take nurse training classes, which is important. Part of this.
I don't know a lot about her, but I know enough about her to know that that's important.
After getting a divorce, she would take a teaching job and then move on to practicing wow. Mm-hmm.
Easy for you to say.
Okay. You know, I said this fucking word in my head as I was writing
That's how it works, man.
And I was like...
As you can say it and practice it and say it and practice it, but once you have the robo dick in your face, you can't talk. It happens to me all the time.
No.
Believe me, I am not going to judge any of your pronunciations because mine is all Baltic horseshit this week.
Mm.
So... Oh, and then the next one that we record, when I get to do that, it's all Russian bullshit. So it's just Cyrillic Baltic bullshit. It's going to be fucking awesome.
So she began practicing obstetrical nursing in the Lower East Side of New York City. She would see the relationships between poverty, uncontrolled fertility, high rates of infant and maternal mortality, and deaths from botched illegal abortions. Now, if you're wondering, well, when the hell time is this frame? This time frame
early 1900s?
Is late 1800s into the early 1900s, okay? When if you were one of those people that was well-to-do in society, or, you know, this case, you were... poor and you just couldn't feed another mouth, you would go to a back alley doctor and they would perform
H.H. Holmes style.
Yep. They would perform no a surgery joke. On you and to have an abortion, and sometimes more often than not women would end up dead because of it.
So the other side of that coin would be around the same time period also would be baby farms, which were also fucking terrible because they're just like, here, I had a child. I don't want it. And they would just like give it to whomever. And most of those women, like, well, not most of them, but the ones that you've heard their names of that ran baby farms were just killing babies, just straight up just killing babies. And spoiler alert, I guess. But
so it wasn't so much the uncontrolled fertility or the high rates of infant and maternal mortality that got to her. No. It was the deaths that were caused by the botched abortions. Because she was a feminist and felt women should have the right to a safe abortion and or getting access to contraception, which at that time was frowned upon. So 1912 rolls around. She gives up her nursing and devotes her the rest of her life to the cause of birth control and sex education.
Yeah. Because this is at a time where you're not supposed to be having sex just because it feels good.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be doing it.
But if you were, you were a whore. And you lived in a, you worked at a whorehouse. Or you were
my
a prostitute.
My argument still stands.
Or you were a prostitute on the streets. That's basically what it was. Come down to it. So she would actually go to jail for mailing out letters that advocated birth control, and those charges were dropped in 1916. At this time, I kind of saw that and went, wait a minute, she was jailed for mailing out letters?
Yeah.
And at this point in time, there was this little thing, which I'm going to get into it in just a second, which you could not do that. It was against the law. So in late 1916, she opens her first birth control clinic in Brooklyn. 1917, she would serve 30 days in the Queens Penitentiary for public nuisance. Her writing in jail went a long way to help her have the courts see that the Comstock Act was wrong and needed to be overturned and allow doctors to import and prescribe contraceptives. The Comstock Act of 1873, which I did not know anything about.
Me either, so.
And I didn't know they existed. States this, that it's illegal to send, quote-unquote, obscene, lewd, or
suggestive,
lascivious, immoral, or indecent publications through the mail. So basically advocating for contraception fell into one of those portions of it.
In all fairness, that is a huge reason that they caught Albert Fish. Because he was sending nasty things in the mail to people.
Yeah.
And they traced it back to where he was. And, you know, they're like, well, he's not here anymore. But they found the notepad and traced it back to the company it came from. They're like, oh, yeah, this is the fucking guy you're looking for. Yeah. So, yeah, it served a purpose at least.
True.
Get that jerk off the street.
So the law also made it a misdemeanor for anyone to sell, give away, or possess an obscene book, pamphlet, picture, drawing, or advertisement. So basically,
that's a little much, you know.
If Penthouse or Playboy was around back then, you would go to jail for possessing it.
Yep.
Or if there were cell phones and you got a nudie selfie pic from your wife or girlfriend or your mistress, you'd go to jail for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now we got to move into the period of the 1920s and 1930s.
I mean, if you want a comparable to today, if you live in Scotland, you can be arrested for hate speech and sent to jail for sharing memes.
Hmm.
So that law just passed, and it's just people fucking, yeah, it's, and they're saying that this law applies to basically anybody. So if one of us were to post something that someone in Scotland were to see and find offensive, they could technically try to bring charges against us and have us extradited there for trial, which is
not gonna happen.
No, anyway. You know.
Because we're allowed to have freedom of speech.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, try it.
So, like I said, we're moving on to the period of 1920s and 1930s. When this little lovely thing comes along that I fucking hate, and I hate it with a passion, the eugenics movement.
Yeah.
Okay. It would be a surprise if I said that she was part. It would not. Some would be surprised to find out that she was actually part of the eugenics movement. Believe it or not, she was.
Oh, yeah,
ladies
absolutely.
And gentlemen, this lovely lady who brought us Planned Parenthood and all this stuff, who brought women birth control and, you know, safe abortions. She was part of the fucking eugenics movement.
Yeah, because she didn't give a shit if you were trying to not have a baby. She was, you know, ulterior motives.
She would, In her writings, according to an article I read, she demonstrated the clear link she saw between controlling reproduction of certain groups and birth control.
Mm-hmm.
She believed that the country was suffering greatly due to uncontrollable reproduction, specifically the unstable majority of the quote-unquote feeble-minded.
Mm.
People that are living in the slums, overridden with disease, poverty, and other struggles. Now, if you don't know what feeble-minded is, or what feeble-mindedness is, which is a made-up fucking term.
It's an umbrella term for a lot of things.
No, it's a made-up term.
What I'm saying, though, is it's an umbrella term that they used to cover a lot of things.
No, it's not.
It was made up, but it covered, like a bunch of different shit.
No, it covered one thing. It wasn't an umbrella. It was feeble-mindedness is, okay, I'll read it, the definition, okay?
Okay.
There's no umbrella to it. It's just maybe defined as the phenomena of imperfect or arrested mental development. So basically your brain. It's all about your brain.
Because at one point in time, I thought it was like...
No. It was just all about your head.
That's okay. I thought it covered different things with that, is what I was trying to say.
No.
It's like, you know, if you had a mental deficiency or if, you know, you were... I know, like, they used to be able to put women in fucking institutions for, you know, like, PMS and shit. Stuff like that, which would have, you know.
Well, okay, so, as he would refer to it at the time, mental retardation.
Yep.
That would be covered under feeble-mindedness because brain not developed, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, you were... considered feeble-minded. When we say a person is feeble-minded, we mean that this mental power has failed to reach its normal development. He/she lacks something in his mental makeup, and he cannot learn, even though he is placed in a very favorable environment. He may not have any physical stigmata of deterioration. Indeed, his body may be just as strong and healthy as any normal person, but his mind is essentially that of a child. Common school has no place for him because he cannot profit from its instruction.
So even if just like you're just a little slow, you know?
That didn't have to be that. That's the funky part about this.
Well, this is back when that, you know, that R word would have encompassed everything from, like, basic autism to fucking anything else like that, you know? Dyslexia, they would have called you, you know, they would have dropped the R-bomb on you for being dyslexic or having whatever the version of dyslexia is where it's numbers instead, because
yeah,
I get that one. That's fine.
Yeah, there's more to it.
Yeah.
I had to actually sit through a whole class where we actually had a book that one of my professors had written. He actually wrote a book on eugenics. But we actually had to sit there. He's like, it's a made up word. Feeble-mindedness is it's not a word, it's not a terminology. It's somebody just made up the fucking word, you know, just because there was, well, these group of people that they felt were unwanted in society. Not that they're, half the time, it wasn't that they're dumb
mm-hmm.
at all. Some of them were actually, you know, could do whatever. But it's just that they were poor.
This is also the same movement that brought us, you know, having people sterilized because they were, you know, they had a criminal in their family.
This is the same movement that brought it. Not so much sterilized for that. It was sterilization because, which we'll get into with Margaret Sanger.
Yeah,
was because you had a black person in your family.
Yeah, you think they sterilized you for a lot of shit.
That meant you that would mean that you. So if you could have been like somebody, you know, 10 generations ago.
It's the one drop rule.
You were, you know, that. You were deduced down to that. You are that. And it was pretty, it's pretty fucking stupid.
Have you ever heard of the one drop rule?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what that is. It's fucked up.
So let's continue here. He may be made to earn his own living by manual labor under very favorable circumstances, but he cannot be made to compete with the normal individuals on equal terms, or to manage himself or his own affairs with ordinary prudence. He lacks the power of self-control and an intuitive sense of morality. He is not immoral, but non-moral. His animal instinct can always have a free, have a free play whenever there is a chance. He cannot distinguish between what is right and wrong, and is incapable of weighing the consequences of his actions. In other words, his mental power stops at a given stage of his development, and no educational agencies can help him with the development in any further physical, any further. Physically, he is a man, but mentally, he is a child. So, they are basically putting everybody into the category of everybody has Down syndrome, or maybe even less than Down syndrome. Or, yeah. And that's the part that, like, it's, yeah.
And we want to act like it, that still doesn't happen, but you have countries like Iceland. I believe Poland also does it, which is kind of weird for Poland being a super Catholic country, where if you have an ultrasound and there's something, you know, like if they find out that your child has Down syndrome, they give you the option to abort it because they want to, what did the wording, the Icelandic guy, because I watched a press conference. There was a, as he's actually a guy with Down syndrome, was up talking, like he's like, is my life worth less than anybody else's? And like, I got pissed off and they want to eradicate the disease is how they, like, have you ever fucking met somebody with Down syndrome? They're usually pretty, you know, cool. They're normal people. It's like, Jesus Christ, just leave them alone. But their thing is, like, they want to get rid of it because they become a burden to their family and their fucking family, you know? I know people that are fully functional that are a burden to their family, you know? But, yeah.
So now, because of these assholes feeling that people were like this, people like Sanger looked towards contraception. They felt that they needed to fight this quote unquote emergency in order to lessen the burden on and protect the intelligence of the community as a whole. She had this to say about society's laissez-faire attitude to reproducing, quote, respecting the personal liberty of the individual only in regard to the unrestricted and irresponsible bringing into the world of filth and poverty and overcrowding procession of infants foredoomed the death or inheritable disease. Basically, she felt simply that
if you're poor, you shouldn't be having kids.
Yeah, they should not be able to reproduce as much as normal people. So if you were the poor person, you shouldn't have kids at all.
Yeah, and kind of really puts it into perspective where a lot of these Planned Parenthood joints are too.
Well, yeah. As a solution to the issue, she proposed the segregation and sterilization of feeble-minded groups. She argued that every feeble-minded girl in her childbearing age needed to be segregated in order to prevent her from bearing, quote-unquote, emancipable children. The male defectives are no less dangerous, claiming the segregation of women would only handle part of the problem, and therefore, that immediate sterilization of men was needed in order to ensure that, quote-unquote, parenthood is absolutely prohibited to the feeble-minded. So, yeah.
Wow.
Sanger was extremely important in establishing the link between birth control and eugenics, as she saw it as a productive means toward backing the ideas of then prominent eugenicists. And this is a quote: "Proof that reckless spawning carries what with it the seeds of destruction." That's what she had to say. And
one more time. The reckless spawning what?
Proof that reckless spawning carries with it the seeds of destruction.
That's fucking weird.
Wow. And saw birth control as the solution for eugenicists to aid in reducing the population of feeble-minded citizens.
That's such a slippery slope, though.
Yeah.
Because at any point in time, any group of people that we decide we don't like can be lumped into feeble-minded. Like, I don't know, 20-odd years from now.
Less than that.
Yeah.
Less than that.
From where we're at.
Less than that. It's actually, like, there.
Yeah.
So
we created it. They just perfected it, unfortunately.
No, we perfected it. He just used it. He twisted it.
Yeah.
And went...
Like they did everything else.
And went, hey, we're gonna... I like this. These motherfuckers came up with this, and don't anybody think that we never actually did any of this bullshit, because guess what? You're fucking wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will name names. I will name places. I will, at the end of this, for as far as my my disclaimer to why she should win,
this
I will put some – I will put names with some of these places.
This is what happens when the government and doctors agree on something.
So Sanger claimed, quote, birth control is really the greatest and most truly eugenic method, and its adoption as part of the program of eugenics would immediately give a concrete and realistic power to that science. Sanger was also an important figure in linking birth control to reducing the population of African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Sanger's American Birth Control League... The ABCL,
no.
Closely collaborated with the Clinic Research Bureau to form the Birth Control Federation of America, the BFCA, in 1939. The BFCA quickly planned the quote-unquote Negro Project, a project that, while claiming to be quote-unquote, established for the benefit of the colored people, resulted in the formation of family planning centers.
Mm, that doesn't sound fucking sinister, does it?
Yeah. That were found to be problematic for many reasons. These clinics, the clinic's aims were to first find the best way to reduce or eliminate the black population in regions densely populated by African Americans.
Yeah.
Secondly, they appeared to be motivated by the ability to test new birth control methods on less valuable populations. Mm-hmm. In the pivot of civilization, this is a book by, or piece of writing by Sanger. Sanger spent several pages detailing an anecdote about a black feeble-minded girl whose uncontrolled resulted in 16 children, all
Jesus,
of which either died at a young age or turned into criminals. She has this to say, quote, "The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We do not want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it occurs to any of their more rebellious members." So basically she's saying, we're going to bring in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the church, the pastor, is going to be the one.
Yep.
to bring these girls under control. She knew that setting up clinics in southern regions with black populations would be scrutinized and called out for what they were truly were. So she sought to find ways to manipulate the public into trusting her clinics. For example, Sanger recruited the support of Adam Clayton Powell Jr. and one Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. And she also actively searched for a black doctor and social worker to join her team. Now, this is how warped, wrapped into her web of deceit, she had MLK when he would actually be awarded later on the Margaret Sanger Award in Human Rights for Planned Parenthood in 1966. And he had this to say: "There is a striking kinship between our movement and the Margaret Sanger's in Margaret Sanger's early efforts." So basically,
there
she
really
filled
isn't, though.
She filled him full of so much shit that, you know,
he didn't know what way was up.
Yeah. So that kind of
I mean, he wasn't perfect by any stretch. Like, he did some other shady shit too, but that, man, to fucking manipulate somebody like that that's fucked. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of that's Margaret Sanger in a whole. This is my argument for
why. I don't think you need to make one, to be honest. Like,
well, I'm gonna make
shit.
One. This is my argument for why I feel that she should win. Now, this is my choice for asshole of the month. I'm not talking about asshole of the week. I'm talking about asshole of the month. She was supposed to be a woman that set out to help her fellow woman. What she decided to do was to help, but her help to some good did some good for those that were not black or feeble-minded. The fact that she basically betrayed all the sisterhood because she had strong feelings against those that she felt were less than her is evil.
Yeah.
It is no wonder that Hitler was like, hey, I like what these people in the U.S. are coming up with and proposed to do it himself.
Dude, if she had been in Germany, she would have had a fucking cabinet position.
Oh, yeah.
You know that, right?
Yeah, of course. Now, all I have to do is, I mean, we can expand, you know, he's like, his thought was, now all I have to do is just expand this out a little bit. And I'll take off, you know, the people with Down syndrome. Or
you don't even have to expand it. You just change your targeting.
No. He expanded it because, you know, he wiped out the blacks. He wiped out the mentally handicapped. And then he's like, I'm going to throw in the
Jews.
That
was testing for the Jews.
I'm going to throw in the Jews and the gypsies. Mm-hmm. Because he did the same thing with the gypsies. Were part of that group to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those topics that ultimately pisses me off, that people could have done this to people. And I know that some may say that, you know, that, what you know, I don't know. It's kind of, it's not the same, but it is what Hitler did.
Yeah.
And they, because we as a country hid it. We hid it fucking well. We didn't, we hid what we did to these people. In places like the Breading Training School in our state.
Uh-huh. What, fucking 10 minutes from here? 15 minutes from here.
And in another place called Pennhurst.
Yeah.
Where people, that were considered, you know, feeble-minded or were troubled in society were sent to live because they were lesser humans.
Mm-hmm.
And horrific shit happened. Like lobotomies, pulling of teeth out, forced sterilization. I mean, the list goes on and on. Abused, you know, neglected. and if you don't know anything about any of this stuff, look it up. I'm just going to say that.
It's fucking gross.
Because these people should have been treated far better. Yeah, it took a long time. Here in this state, we had the Brennan Training School. Yeah, it was called the Training School.
I'm sure we had more than that, though.
No, it was the only one.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was the they referred to it as the Training School. But before that, it was called the Normal School, which was basically a fucked up term for, you know, hey, we can't call it, you know, place for the retards to go.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody, for using the term. But, you know, we got to put it for, you know, change it. So it was called the Training School. They didn't do any training at all.
Wow.
And the ultimate disservice that happened to these people was a lot of them, because a lot of them spent a lot of their whole lives here. They would eventually be put out into the normal public, and some of them would end up dying because they were, you know, forgotten.
They couldn't fend for themselves, basically.
No, they couldn't fend for themselves, or they were fucking put away in an attic, and then they'd freeze to death. Some would end up freezing to death. They found plenty of these people dead. It's just, yeah. I mean, so before we go casting stones, you know, let's we call the kettle black, and we got to look in our back door, because people like Margaret Sanger.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know anything about this lady. I thought, you know, Planned Parenthood, okay, you know.
And you thought it was a weird call when I suggested her for the tournament.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, man.
You know, and that's part of me that wanted to pick her because I didn't know nothing about her.
And if you want to see further evidence of her program still working, look at where the majority of Planned Parenthood centers are. They're in, like, inner cities, big cities with large black populations, and it might make me sound like an asshole. The highest percentage of women going in there are African American. And it's in these areas where they plant these things, you know. It's no different than what the government did with the black community back in the 60s and 70s, where they essentially destroyed the black family by saying, well, we'll give you guys federal funding if dad is not in the picture, basically, you know. And she didn't act alone. She got the ball rolling with a lot of stuff, but then the big green weenie in Washington fucking threw down, and they fucked all of them over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, the whole eugenics movement was definitely not governmentalized, if I can even use that word, because it was basically, hey, we're gonna put this out, and as theory as such.
The fuck? Oh, you said theory. And
yeah. As theory and such, but turned out it's, you know, wasn't so much theory. It was it was put into practice.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, like I said, you know.
Yeah, dude, she fucking sucks balls. Like,
before we kind of
style.
Yeah. Before, you know, anybody in this country wants to cast a stone, I educate people when they talk about Adolf Hitler and, you know, what he did. It was terrible and everything.
He did
else.
It on a larger scale, which is why he gets
but
more
you
attention.
But you don't think that I strongly feel that if this had really truly kicked off, like, even more, and what they thought, what they wanted to do, it would have kicked off tenfold.
I mean, it's hard to say. Like, maybe it would have, or who knows?
It would have. You know? I guarantee it would have.
It yeah.
You know, we would have had our, the population would have been totally different.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's pretty goddamn icky.
And we wouldn't, you know, disseminate versus, you know, your religious faith.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be anything to do with that. It would just be, you're dumb. You're going to get castrated. No kids for you.
Yep.
Or, hey, sorry, you know.
You know. Yeah, it's...
You're put away for the rest of your life.
It's
and
pretty fucked up.
So, anyway. That's Margaret Sanger. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with...
The loser of this week. Yeah. All right. So, I'm torn on this one because, again, I recommended this person for the list. Because I was like, oh, what a piece of shit. And then I did some research and went, it's kind of boring. Like, he did one thing. We're going to talk about Gavrilo Princip. Any World War One nerds out there, that name will ring a bell fucking immediately. Or anybody that has even a passing knowledge of history that hasn't been living under a rock for the past 110 years or so. Kind of a big name, you know. So he was born the second of nine to Peter and Maria, who M-A-R-J-A, but it's in Bosnia, so they get some consonants where vowels should be, you know. This is going to be a rough one pronunciation-wise, so anybody that speaks like Bosnian or Serbian or Croatian or any of those, feel free to laugh at me, because I'm going to fuck these all up. So he was born in Western Bosnia, July 25th, 1894. The house wouldn't fill up too much, though, because six of the children that were born never made it past infancy, because this is the late 1800s in the middle of nowhere, so there's not a lot of doctors and such. He was originally named Spiro, but when his parents brought him to be baptized, because they were Eastern Orthodox, because it's the Balkans, it's kind of how they are, when they brought him to be baptized, the priest is like, that sounds familiar. Didn't you have a son named Spiro before? And they're like, yeah, we're going to name him after the first one that passed. And he went, it's a bad idea. You shouldn't name a child after a child that was sickly and then died, because it's a bad omen, kind of. So he tells him, you want this boy to grow up big and strong, you name him after the Archangel Michael. So I'm not sure where you get Gavrilo out of Michael.
I don't know.
But that's what they landed on.
Huh.
So I don't know if that's like the Bosnian version of Michael. I don't have a goddamn clue. He didn't refer to him as the Archangel Gavrilo. You know, who the fuck knows? I wasn't there. And if I was, I wouldn't have given a shit, because it's not my kid. Name him whatever you want.
Yeah.
You know, just don't go on Facebook and let strangers name your kids. You should be arrested for child abuse if you're doing that. That's insane. So believe it or not, the family, kind of like super dirt poor farmers in the middle of nowhere. They were part of what was called the Khematov, which was the serf class, which was ruled over by Muslim landlords of the Ottoman Empire. Yeah, we've talked about the Ottoman Empire around this time period, and pretty recently. And fuck all those guys. Go back and listen to... couple episodes back, with the Armenian genocide and all that stuff, and Talarian, fuck the Ottoman Empire to death. So they quote unquote owned 4 acres of farmland, and they had to pay the landlords. So the way it worked is you had to pay one third of your income. You got to keep 2/3 of your income went to your landlord. That's insane. It's a 75% tax.
Serfdom.
Yeah, exactly. So to try to make ends meet a little bit, Dad picks up a side hustle where he's transporting mail through the mountains between Northwest Bosnia and Dalmatia, which is where the dogs come from. Which I believe is like Eastern-ish, like Germany, kind of that neck of the woods there, or Serbia. I don't really know. It's in that, you know, Eastern European neck of the woods. So Gravillo, he really wanted to go to school. He wanted to get an education, and his dad's like, nah, we got a farm to run, and we need all the hands we can get, and since we can't, you know, your mother can't give birth to living children other than fucking ghosts, you know, we need you around. But eventually, he wins out, and he starts school in 1903, which, if you do quick math, that was 9 years old, he's starting school.
Oh, wow.
Kind of a late jump. But despite, you know, the late jump into school and having a kind of a rough first year because he doesn't know how to read at this point in time yet, and it has not really been, you know, socialized with other kids other than his brothers and sisters, he had kind of a rough go of it.
Yep.
But after that, he did pretty decently in school. So much so that at one point in time, his headmaster gave him a series of Serbian poetry books as a gift because he was doing good in school. You know, good on you, kid. When he was 13, he moved to Sarajevo with his older brother, Jovan. And Jovan was supposed to put him into the Austro-Hungarian military school. But he was talked out of it by a shopkeeper who told him, if you sign your brother up with this military school, you're, quote, making your own brother a butcher of your people. So this was when... I'll get into it in a few minutes here, but... The Serbs, kind of not huge fans of the Austro-Hungarian Empire at this point. Things were cool for a little bit, but not now. Not for a little bit longer, also. So, instead, he signs little Gav up for the merchant school. And I'd bet you a fucking nice crisp dollar that this shopkeeper asshole got a kickback for sending somebody to a merchant school.
Probably.
They've got a referral program. And, like, your reward was, we're not going to come in here and burn your shop down because you sent somebody to us. So after a few years, he would later transfer to the Sarajevo Gymnasium, and I have no clue what the hell that means. I don't know. I couldn't find anything about it. When I punched it up, all I was getting was, you know, gyms in Sarajevo. And I have a fucking blues clue what that means. Anyway, 1908 is when the Austro-Hungarian Empire rolls in to Serbia, and they very politely tell them, maybe not so much politely, but they're like, hey, you're under our control now. Enjoy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Hopefully you can speak German or Austrian or whatever the fuck we're calling it. Dutch. There we go. Or Deutsch, whichever, one of the two. But they don't.
It'll be Austrian.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
So basically, like any other country that's ever been under the control of another, they didn't want that. They want freedom. And college students across the country start forming groups as they do, focusing on things such as romantic nationalism, which is a form of nationalism in which the state claims its political legitimacy as an organic consequence of the unity of those it governs. This includes things like language, race, ethnicity, culture, religion, national customs, stuff like that. And there's a lot of people that when they hear the word nationalism, they automatically think it's a bad thing. When you look at what nationalism actually means, it's basically just pride in your country.
Yeah.
So I see nothing wrong with nationalism. It's when you start mixing like a religion or a color into it that it becomes an issue. Honestly, if everybody here was a nationalist, be fucking partying. There'd be like jet skis and shit and fireworks everywhere.
Yep.
But we can't have that because our government doesn't want us to, you know, like work together as a cohesive unit because they're afraid of us. As they should be. They also, you know, got into like nihilism, which is a view of philosophy that rejects generally accepted or fundamental aspects of human existence, such as knowledge, morality, and meaning. Nihilists are fucking like, if you've ever talked to someone who is like a claims to be a hardcore nihilist, it's going to be a really boring conversation because they don't believe in anything.
Yeah.
They are like militant atheists, and they are just fucking boring to talk to. They were also big on anti-imperialism, which we don't really need to go into that because that's pretty fucking self-explanatory. So thanks to his roommate, Danilo Ilitch, Gavrilo gets brought into the fold with anarchism, socialism, and of course, the big one, communism, you know. So he starts looking into some of these other revolutionaries from the area. He had a pop-up, hot revolutionaries in your area, 5 miles away. These guys want to fuck the government. So he comes across a guy by the name of Bogdan Zarevich? Zarechich? There's a J in the middle of it? Anyway, so he tried to kill the Hungarian governor of Bosnia and Herzegovina. He failed and then killed himself. So on the anniversary of his death, a bunch of college students go to visit his grave and they're like paying their respects to this guy that failed both times. He succeeded one time. He tried to kill somebody at least. But he failed at the one that he was aiming for originally. And while he was there, Princip found himself kind of reflecting, and he made a promise to himself that he was going to do something big, like what was attempted at this by this man whose grave he's sitting on. 1911, he graduates from the fourth grade. I'm assuming that means something different there, because later on he graduates from the sixth grade of high school. So I'm assuming that the fourth grade of high school would have been like your, I don't know, like sophomore year or some shit like that. I don't really know. I don't know. It's like fourth grade, man. Like, this guy's fucking stupid, but
I don't know.
He just learned sex ed and long division. He's going to go try to kill somebody. So he joins up with a group called Young Bosnia. And this time frame, you throw the word young in front of a country or a people, and it's usually a bad thing. Noticed with the Young Turks, and they still suck and they're on TV, but that's beside the point. So this is a separatist revolutionary group that was built on, of mostly young men, Serbians, Bosnian Muslims, and Croats. The group started up after the annexation, by Austria-Hungary in 1908, and it just kind of took off. It just grew, you know? And you probably noticed that I said Muslims in there, right? And the other two are pretty staunchly Eastern Orthodox Christians. That's because these guys had in common the fact that they were Bosnian first, insert religion second. Which, hey, if you can build a group on that, and that's cool. Good for you guys. That's great. October 12th, the Balkan states and Turkey go to war. And our buddy Gavrilo here almost pulled a fucking hamstring trying to get to the recruiting office. Like, he took off. He wanted to go. He wants to sign up with the irregulars, which were, like, from what I gathered, it seems like it was almost more like a National Guard kind of thing, where you weren't necessarily going to see combat directly at first. More like a reserve or something like that, but you were there in case. So they, you know, like, basically told him, you're not big enough to serve. He's a little dude. Because that's fine. So he then decides to go a little bit further north into Serbia. He visits another recruiter here. The guy goes, oh, yeah, absolutely, sure. Here's your, get the fuck out of here, you little shit. Just threw him out of his office because he was little again.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of made him sad and pissed off and depressed all at the same time. So he goes back to Belgrade and then he goes to some unpronounceable little village before making his way back home. Not being allowed to join the army, it really, that's what got the wheels in motion in his head, that he was going to do something drastic. May 2nd, 1913, Princip is in Sarajevo, and the Austro-Hungarian governor of Bosnia and Herzegovina, General Poterik, declares a state of emergency and suspends the 1910 Constitution of Bosnia and Herzegovina. You guys have no fucking rights now. Suck it. So he implements martial law. The state took control of all the schools, like private and public schools. They prohibited all Serbian public showings of culture and educational stuff. So we're going to jump ahead to early 1914 at this point in time. A classmate, also the same guy that was his roommate here, Danilo, shows him a little chunk of newspaper that he cuts out. It says, hey, Archduke Franz Ferdinand is going to come to Sarajevo and visit and spread democracy the old-fashioned way. And here's the light bulb, the aha moment. You know, we know what's coming now, right? A few days later, they start planning. He brings in a couple of buddies that his roommate hadn't met before. Oh, God. Nedeljko Cabrinovic and Trifko Grabez?
Sounds good to me.
And they start planning, and they're like, we are going to whack one of these assholes. We got to get one of them. They originally landed on the governor, because he's not that well protected. It sends a message. He's an asshole. And then they kind of get to thinking, and they're like, it'd be cool to kill the governor, but what if we killed a member of the royal family instead?
True.
We're gonna just, this bar that we set, that's too low. Like, we're gonna jump over that bitch. We're gonna try to jump over that one and then over one that's like 5 feet higher.
Yeah.
And we're gonna kill Franz Ferdinand. Not the band, the guy.
The band got the name from.
Which, by the way, I think when I post it to Instagram, because you can put music with shit, it's going to be a Franz Ferdinand song. Up until then, it's been songs from fighting, like fight games, but yeah, Take Me Out might be a little nod. So they hook up with a buddy, is a Muslim fella that they kind of all knew that was in the military. They get some weapons from him, and then they go meet up with this dude, Milan Signovich, who was a member of the super secret, ultra-nationalistic group called Kevin... What's the group?
Fuck! No, I know it's not.
Oh, it's not fuck, dude. You're so close. It's the Black Hand.
Ah, son of a bitch. my brain went numb.
You've mentioned it so many times that I was like, man, he's going to knock this out of the park. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no.
My brain went numb. I'm sorry. So, Kevin, sorry. Kevin sad.
Kevin angry. So Signovich takes these clowns out in the woods and he trains them for a bit. And they all kind of agreed that, hey, Gravilla's a pretty good shot. So he arms three of these turkeys with Browning pistols. Don't get excited. They're 380s.
Right.
It's an underpowered 9mm. Whoa. Super cool. So he gives them those. He gives them six grenades, and each one of them gets a vial of poison, just in case.
Ooh.
And they
take the coward's way out.
Yep, you know it. So they head off to Belgrade, May 28th, 1914. They cross the border. They cross the border separately. Like, they don't, you know. This is where it gets real, like, Raid of St. Albans for me. Because, like, it's all the same shit. We're crossing the border separately. We're doing it all sneaky. And then it's just a comedy of errors after that.
True.
So the next morning, June 28th, 1914, on the night of June 27th, they meet up with Danilo. and he starts handing out guns and grenades because, believe it or not, the guns that they had had that were given to them by the other guy there, they lost them. They lost their grenades, too. These guys are fuck-ups. Big style fuck-ups.
It's no...
So now instead of having these Browning 380s, we're going to end up with the FN Model 1910. Which, if you look at it, if you look at that, and then you look at a Russian Tokarev, and you go, it's the same picture. It's essentially the same goddamn thing, just a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Then he gives them grenades, and, you know, not necessarily grenades. They're more like homemade bombs.
Uh-huh.
we'll get into the homemade bombs. So the next morning, June 28th, 1914, Danilo has kind of got all these different spots planned out. Like, we're going to stage these guys because there's now six would-be assassins.
Yep.
And we're going to set them all up along the parade route. Motorcade passes by the first guy whose name is...
Because they had found out about the parade route.
Yeah. Because it was posted in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Just like JFK. They're like, hey, this is where the fucking, where, you know, the motorcade's going. Well, because they wanted you to go out so that he could wave and, you know, kiss babies and shit.
Well, because nobody thought that, you know, people would be ballsy enough to do something.
Yeah.
Like that's about to happen.
Yeah. So the motorcade rolls up on our first would-be assassin, a man by the name of Mehmed Bisik is his last name. I didn't get a first name. I barely got a fucking last name because that's a lot of words, a lot of letters. So he's standing out in front of the Mostar Cafe. He's got a bag with him, right? Like a little canvas bag, like a... what do you want to call him? Like a... Fuck. A satchel, kind of. You know? Yeah. And in that little satchel is a homemade bomb. Car comes rolling up, and he unlatches the bag and fucking freezes. He just locks up like, oh, I don't know what to do anymore. But the good news is there's a guy next to him with a handgun. This is Vaso Kubrilovich. He's got his handgun. And he's like, man, I got this. Nope. No, I fucking don't. And he doesn't do anything either. So these two just stand there like deer in the headlights. Nedeljko Kubrilovich, the guy that we talked about before, he's the next guy in line. He's also armed with one of these homemade bombs. And at 10:10, the car rolls up, and he's like, I got this, bitch. And he throws the bomb at the car, and it bounces off the convertible cover and lands on the ground behind it. From what most of the people that saw it happen said that the Archduke didn't even react when it hit the car because he didn't know that it had happened. Until a couple of seconds later when the timer went off and it blew up the car behind him, leaving a 1 foot in diameter, 6.5 inch deep crater in the concrete, obviously knocks the car out of commission, and it wounded about 20 bystanders.
Yeah.
So good job, dickhead.
Way to go.
So to continue our comedy of errors, he goes, oh, fuck. And he cracks open his cyanide thing, swallows it down, chucks the vial, and he's like, all right, I've poisoned myself. There's a river right behind me. So he jumps off the fucking bridge into the river, which is about 12 inches deep. So he can't drown himself. And to make matters even better, the cyanide was outdated, so all it did was make him throw up a whole bunch.
now he's feeling the pain.
Oh, he's
in two different directions or multiple directions and out his stomach, out his mouth, because he's going.
Well, we're gonna add in a third direction because the police drag him up out of the creek bed and beat the fuck out of him in the middle of the street in front of a bunch of people. So next stop for the motorcade is now headed up to town hall where the Archduke is scheduled to give a speech. He's a little shaken up because, you know, part of his motorcade just got fucking blown up. So he's a little nervous about the whole thing. They arrive at town hall and, again, you know, he interrupts the mayor's speech to give his. And he says, quote, "Mr. Mayor, I came here on a visit and I am greeted with bombs. It is outrageous." Just fuck you for being royalty, first of all.
Yeah.
Second of all, quit being an asshole. Like, you're about to get yours. It's okay, though. So he gives this little speech, and then he decides that the best thing to do for optics is, since we now control this country, I should probably go visit the wounded people and show them that I'm really here for them. You know, like when the president shows up to talk to a veteran at the hospital and goes to shake his hand and his hand isn't there and he just doesn't know how to react. And then, you know, the Marine's mom throws him out of the hospital. Oh, wait, that was Joe Biden. So he goes to visit these folks, and his vehicle is now third in line. There's two vehicles in front of him. He's third. There's no longer a fourth because it's scattered amongst people that are in a hospital from it. So word kind of spreads quickly that someone's tried to kill the Archduke, and Princip gets wind of it and goes, okay, I'm going to move my position. If they're headed that way, I'm going to find a spot to hit him on the way back through. Pretty not bad idea, right? While he's repositioning himself, he finds himself at a place called Schiller's Deli, which is near the Latin Bridge, where he's planning to wait there for the motorcade to come back from the hospital that way. He's hanging out outside the deli. I know after doing the research, I know it's not true, but a lot, like up for a long time, people said that he went in and got a sandwich because he was hungry, you know, wanted to kill royalty, you know, makes boy hungry. You know, you got all that fresh bread and cold cuts and you can smell it, you know? So he's just kind of fucking hanging out, and, two cars pass him and they turn off the road, and the third car comes up and stops when one of the passengers yells that they're going the wrong way. Like, he is in the vehicle and he goes, no, no, they're going the wrong way. Like, the cars that were in front of him. So the driver of the Archduke's car stops after they've passed Princip. He tries to back up to turn around. And when he backs up, the fucking car stalls. And he's about 10 feet away from him. In case you're wondering what kind of car it is, it's a 1911 Graf & Striff Double Phaeton, which the car is in a museum in Sarajevo. It's an old car. They all kind of look the same, you know. So hearing of their vehicular troubles, Princip steps up onto the running board and says something clever like, I got just the tool to fix this. And he fucking shoots the Archduke in the neck. He then turns the pistol, allegedly, to shoot the governor. Because, hey, this is our original target. Why not fucking shoot him, too? He was apparently bumped by somebody when he went to shoot. And that's when he shot Duchess Sophie in the stomach. And she got blasted in the guts. And she passed out immediately. Like, that's pretty fucking impressive. She basically fell face first into her husband's crotch and the car takes off. He falls off the running board and a bunch of dudes that were just like right there and some guys from the deli came out and fucked him up and held him there until the cops got there.
I mean, it was a pure accident that he was there.
Because
it wasn't supposed to have...
That's not where he was supposed to be. He was at town hall. And then once it left, he's like, oh, I'll go up here and hang out and wait for him to come back. You know?
Yeah, it was just a pure accident that he, you know, that it ended up falling into his lap.
The scientific term is shit luck.
Yeah, for sure.
So one of the guys in the car, Count Herrick, said that he had heard the Archduke say, Sophie, Sophie, don't die. Live for our children. And then after that, he just kept saying, it's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing. And then he passed out too. They were both dead by the time they got into a hospital.
Yeah.
I didn't go into the whole trial, but...
you found guilty.
Yeah, just a little bit. His sentence is going to blow your fucking mind, though, okay? Pretty quick trial, obviously.
Yeah.
You know? He is sentenced to keep in mind, he's the only one that succeeded in the mission. He is sentenced to 20 years for killing these two people. His roommate, Illich, Kubrilovich, and Jovanovich, who is another assassin, are all sentenced to death by hanging. And they were all executed February 3rd, 1915. They were executed at the same fucking time. They built a three-man gallows, and they just pulled the lever on that bitch and dropped all three of them.
Weird.
Two of them are the ones that actually planned it.
Okay, but he did it.
One of them was a failed assassination attempt. But the guy who actually fucking did it, 20 years. That sounds like some shit we would do here. Like, our justice system is fucked up, but that's right up there, too.
Yeah.
So he was chained to a wall in solitary confinement in the small fortress in Terezin. Conditions obviously not great. And he developed tuberculosis. So from February to June of 1916, he met four times with a psychiatrist named Martin Pappenheim. Who is a psychiatrist for the Austro-Hungarian army.
Psychiatrist, all right.
Yeah. Pappenheim wrote that Princip asserted that the First World War would have occurred even if the assassination had not taken place and, quote, cannot feel himself responsible for the catastrophe. He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
No.
So he would die April 28th, 1918, 3 years and 10 months before after the assassination attempt. At the time of his death, this is rough. At the time of his death, because of malnutrition and disease, he weighed 86 pounds.
Wow.
A human skeleton weighs about 70. So he was...
he's skinny.
A little skinny.
Yeah.
So my argument... I mean, it's really not like he wasn't directly the cause of World War One. Thought initially, like I knew that there had been some other shit going on. He was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
That's all it was.
Not really an asshole. He was more just a misguided, young man. I mean, yes, he orphaned the children of the Archduke and Duchess. That's kind of a shitty thing to do.
But you killed one of the royal family.
Yeah, he falls kind of into the old adage of one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist.
Yeah.
He really may not have belonged on the list. He was just a college kid that did some reckless, stupid shit. He did contribute to the World War One and the deaths of 20 million plus in combat, but I can't...
He didn't contribute to it. He was the cause of why it started.
He was the spark.
Yeah. And,
but in good conscience, after knowing what we know about your,
yeah.
I really want to call her a cunt, but I probably shouldn't, right?
He anyway, just did.
After knowing what I know about her, I can't, in good faith, put a strong argument forward for him to move in ahead of her.
But you know who basically called it?
Some damn thing in the Balkans.
Yeah. Otto von Bismarck.
Yep.
He called it.
Speaking of royals.
He said that there would be some damn thing in the Baltics that would be the spark of World War One.
And that's exactly what it was.
And because of all the turmoil and everything that you alluded to earlier in your portion.
Yep.
It was just one of those things where something's gonna.
It was gonna happen one way or another.
Yeah, something's gonna happen, which is gonna bring in the Russians, the Germans, into it, and because they were allies with the Austrians,
and honestly, the Germans kind of got fucked the hardest in World War One.
They did,
because like they were just there to help out a buddy, and then the buddy's like, "Nah, you got it," and then
but then they took that and were like. And then because the French joined in and they were like, we fucking really, really, really hate you.
Yep.
And the French were like, we fucking hate you too.
We hate you back, you son of a bitch.
And they just don't like each other and never have. And they're like, we're going to fuck on you so hard. But then the last laugh came for the German, Russia, French. They were like, yeah. So, you know, me and my buddies going to say, you can't have any goddamn army.
Yeah.
Ha ha. And guess what? You get land taken away.
Yep.
Fuck you.
And you guys committed a war crime, and then you got sad because a bunch of Americans came over with shotguns, and you thought that that was a war crime, even though you gassed people. You fucking jerk-offs.
Well,
but, you know,
World War One was far different than World War Two.
Yeah, but, you know, some fucking 17-year-old kid dropping into your trench with a, you know, with a shotgun and just evaporating people's heads, that's a war crime, but you gassed people? Fuck you. Shut up.
No, I know.
Take your wheelbarrows full of money and buy bread and go fuck yourself.
I mean, but like I said, you know, World War One versus World War Two, two different scenarios.
Oh, God. You can't compare the two.
You know, it was, yeah, you really can't.
The only thing that was the same, but that was similar between the two were the, you know, the actors.
Yeah.
You know? Because you can't compare those two conflicts. They're not fucking close.
And the thing is like, there was a possibility where Germany was going to get back into it anyway with others because they were pissed. They were ultimately still pissed that they got the short end of the straw.
They did.
Got told by people, you know, that weren't around there or whatever, that you can't do this, you can't do that.
You know,
and
then,
who the fuck are you to tell me what I can and can't do in my own country?
Same thing happened in World War II with Japan. They just made weird porn about it, you know?
True. True.
You know, and then whatever, they had that one cult where they were like, we're going to kill it, we're going to blow up America with cyanide and shit, and, you know, that didn't work out so hot. They gassed a bunch of their own people in a fucking subway, which didn't also work out as well as they wanted it to. But that's Om Shinrikyo, and we'll talk about that eventually, I'm assuming. But
I guess we're gonna
yeah,
say
it's fucking Sanger. It's unanimous. Like Margaret Sanger's moving on.
It's the
like,
first.
She's a real bitch.
So we've split two.
Yeah, and then we each have our own bracket to do.
You know, we both of us have thrown up our fucking white flags for one of our guys.
Yeah. Yeah, because yours was Shay.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't have stood the test against Ilsa anyway.
No, I just don't think that, you know. Yeah.
But like this dude, if we were to compare the two between him and Shay, if one person deserved way less to be on this list, it'd be him.
Well, yeah. I mean, Che Guevara probably a little bit more, you know.
He fit the bill a little bit better.
A little bit better.
Yeah.
But not like 100%. Like, I full-heartedly stood behind him being on the list. Not really, because, I mean, the things he did were war crime-ish, but, you know, not, I don't know, but I mean, he was a bit of an asshole, but there was also like some kind of something behind that.
Right.
At the same time, Princip, yeah, I don't know. No.
If this guy was here now, like alive now, he would just be at like a Free Palestine rally. You know, it's the same energy. Just a college kid that's, you know. Hooked his wagon to something.
Hey.
And,
gotta hook your wagon.
This just so happened to be hooking your wagon to something that turned out to be real fucking bad. But anyway, we are gonna go record Patreon. Patreon.com/Dark Windows Podcast. Because we didn't record one last week. We're gonna put it out this time, though.
Yes.
Kevin.
Studio.com. Go check them out.
There it is.
Headphones, earbuds, all that good stuff. And then Dark Windows 15 to get 15% off your entire purchase. Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff. And yeah. So just because you can't. No. And
you tell him. You sign off. You tell him. Go for it.
All right. Just because you can't see in the dark doesn't mean the dark can't see into you. Till next week, Declan, take it out.
Can you talk? Talk. Say something.
Whoa.